Ruby Ryder here. Welcome to Pegging Paradise podcast number 223 on November 1st, 2018, changing the world one ass at a time. If you would like to support my efforts to deconstruct the myths and misconceptions around pegging and offer accurate information to all who seek it, head on over to Patreon and become a patron of my work. All patrons have access to the podcast a day early, as well as a 24/7 chat channel full of pegging practitioners from all over the world. Rewards for the various levels of support include written and audio erotica to excite and inspire. Just go to patreon.com/rubyrider, or you can click the support my work button on my website. Another way to support my work is through enticeme.com, the little black dress of pleasure products. Entice Me offers a carefully curated selection of luxury, body-safe, non-toxic toys for your enjoyment. Just go to enticeme.com, #RubyRider, and for 15% off of your entire purchase, use the coupon code RIDER, that's R-Y-D-E-R. If you'd like assistance figuring out which pegging equipment is the best choice for you, I offer free equipment phone consultations for customers of Entice Me. You'll be supporting my efforts to change hearts and minds about pegging. Okay, everybody. Hey, I know I'm late. I'm doing a late podcast again. There's so much going on right now. I just couldn't quite sit down to do this until now, but here I am, and I am doing it right now. So here's my patron update. Yes. Tracy is now a $5 a month patron. Tracy, thank you so much for your generosity. I really appreciate it. And then I'm also going to keep you updated on my Movember donations. Remember the whole Movember thing? Yeah, well, that is starting today, people. And every single day I am going to run, walk, or do elliptical 2 miles. Probably not run 2 miles. I'm not really a runner. I'm going to be depending heavily on that elliptical machine. But towards my $500 goal, which is a pretty hefty goal, I received a $25 donation from Will. Will, thank you so much. Warmed my heart, my friend. I really, really appreciate the donation. And the Movember $500 goal that I set, I don't know, I guess I just figured I have a pretty big community, you know, my tendrils of pegging knowledge and my community stretches pretty far. So I figured in 30 days, I could absolutely raise $500. So I don't know if they do this to everybody, but actually I got a message, a personal message from, I don't know, one of the organizers, I guess, of Movember. And he wrote and said, wow, so this is quite a hefty goal and good luck to you and awesome. Thank you so much for participating. And that was kind of cool to get. It was a very personal thing. So I wrote him back and told him just a little bit about how I'm a sex educator and prostates are near and dear to my heart. But really the thing that kicked me over the edge to go ahead and participate was their recent emphasis on men's mental health and suicide prevention. Because their tagline is, you know, let's help stop men from dying early. And this can happen with prostate cancer, testicular cancer, and absolutely mental health, suicide prevention. So anyway, here I am ready to do my 2 miles a day, and I'm going to have to get up at the crack of fucking dawn tomorrow to get my 2 miles in because I have a very busy day. So one, you know, the busy days, the only thing you can do is just get up really, really early and get it done because there's stuff happening all day long and into the evening. As a matter of fact, I'm teaching a webinar tonight at 6 p.m. So if you're listening to this podcast and it's not 6 p.m. California time, you have a chance to drop into that webinar, don't you? Here's how I promoted it when I listed it in a few different places. Tomorrow is Wednesday, so tomorrow is hump day, right? So come and learn a different way to get your hump on. Come and learn all the things you always wanted to know about pegging and then some. I guarantee it'll be and then some. I am chock full of information about pegging. So we'd love to have you drop into the webinar if that's something that appeals. So during November, there's only going to be two webinars. However, I wanted you to know that I am going to take any monies that I earn directly from the webinars and donate it to Movember. Okay. Now, normally, a lot of the people who take the webinars do it for free because the givers can get in free, and sometimes the receivers take advantage of that free offer as well. But I have had webinars before where they get chock full of people, 10, 12 people, and maybe six of them have paid that $15 a piece, and so it ends up being $90. So anybody who attends the webinar, either on the first or the next one, which is the 17th, and I'll talk about that more at the end of the podcast, any monies I earn from that, I am going to donate directly to Movember toward that $500 goal. And I also wanted you to know, as far as the Movember thing, I'll put the link again to my, it's kind of like my spot on the Movember website. You know, you can click in and see how I'm doing. And there's a picture of me with my weird little snidely whiplash mustache. And there's also posts about the exercise that I'm doing. And I have been putting pictures of the screen of my elliptical showing what I've done. Now, I haven't done it every single day since I announced it last week, but I've been doing it most days. I did have a slack couple of days with all the stuff that was going on these last 2 days, and I did not get to the elliptical, and I did not do any miles at all. However, because it's November, starting tomorrow, I have to do it every single day. So those pictures will be up there, and it's kind of fun to see, you know, the screenshot of the elliptical, me talking about it. If you have any interest in that at all, the link of that will be in the Linkorama. You know, if I promise to put up something like a picture of me after I exercise, all hot and sweaty with no makeup on at 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, would you come and donate then? Because pictures of elliptical screens really can only take you so far. I mean, boring, right? But if you want to see Ruby Ryder, hot and sweaty, no makeup, 7 and 6:30 in the morning, whenever, crack o' fucking dawn, go to the Movember website. I promise I'll put one up for you guys. And that will take you to exactly where you can donate to the Movember cause, which, of course, I would love it if anybody is so moved to go and donate to that cause. It's an amazing one, and I'm doing my 2 miles a day in the hopes that it will motivate people to click on that website, go there, and give what you can. Thank you. So, okay, let's check out your letters. I have a letter that I'm going to read to you. It took me a little bit to get permission, but this refers back to the guy who was saying basically he's a submissive guy and he's having a tough time because of a breakup and he's wondering where submissive guys go to get support. And this was such an eloquent, articulate, and deep sharing from this person who wrote me that I wanted to read it, but he didn't look at his mail for a little while, I guess, and finally wrote me back and said absolutely that I had permission. So here we go, and this was on FetLife. I saw your post and question and would like to give you my perspective as to why there are not many male sub support groups that help other males. I will support and care for someone regardless of gender, orientation, or identity. If someone hurts and asks for my help or help from the community at large, I will do my best to assist them. Contrary to the self-advertising theory presented in one of your thread conversations, when I post online or ask for something, I am simply looking for information and do not care in the slightest how other men or women perceive me. If I am posting for a kinky hookup, then I only expect to get sex-related responses from that thread. I would be a fool to think that someone that matches my orientation and desires would want to instantly roll into bed with me about what I said in an educational topic about a kink. Kink has taught me that there is no such thing as a stupid question so long as you have done your research before presenting the topic as a thread. To gain the talents and skills normally taught or associated with women took a lot of trial and error and mimicking what I saw as effective communication amongst my female mentors and peers. I had to do a lot of introspection and look at how my actions constantly affect those around me. After many years of practice and refinement, I feel confident in my abilities to communicate and be emotionally open as female identifying or relating genders. I am pulling from your idea that women tend to be stronger in those areas of expression and communication. However, there is a massive catch to obtaining the skills I have. Other than the fact that I had to do this by and large by myself, without assistance from any male figures, I ended up sacrificing what it meant to be a male in American society. You are correct in that there is a massive stigma associated with men attempting to acquire skills normally thought as feminine. Among a lot of males, I am considered an oddity that is only tempered by my apparent, quote, masculine, end quote, qualities of endurance and confidence in improvisation. Even among females, I am seen as an unknown entity because while I communicate effectively, I haven't fully acquired the ability to, quote, woman speak, end quote. Sarcasm, satire, and irony are still skills beyond my reach. Also, the same qualities that men tend to respect in me often send red flags to women when coupled with my non-masculine ways of communication. Using the gender binary, both sexes, consequently, don't entirely trust me, because I am neither fully one nor the other. I've been an outsider looking in for a large part of my life. Unfortunately, outsiders don't really know how to create and maintain communities effectively, because a lot of us feel that it is only a matter of time before we get kicked out, ridiculed, or shamed. So it is much easier to duck out and do things on our own when things get rough than face potential pain. Things could actually turn out very well, but if my mind is anything to go off of, I tend to see the cons before I see the pros when I evaluate a situation. Anyway, I could tell your mounting frustration with the post and wanted to give you my perspective. I hope this helps your friend. So what this man was responding to was me posting in a female dominant group, submissive men and women who love them. And I've always felt that that group was a little harsh, maybe, a little rough around the edges. So I posted the question there about where a male submissive who was looking for emotional support around the ending of a relationship might find that, and if there were any male submissive groups. And, you know, a long conversation ensued, a lot of it not helpful, a little bit of it helpful. I really enjoy the unpacking of all of this. So many people have so many different perspectives regarding it. I recall one of the things that was written was something along the lines of, who knows, men don't seem to want to talk about stuff unless women are around. And I thought, well, that's a little simplistic. You know, I'm quite sure that there are underlying factors here that perhaps we aren't aware of. So I just really want to thank this guy who allowed me to read this, because I feel for you. I remember earlier in my life, I shared a home, a residence with a male roommate, and this male roommate of mine could talk with me like a woman. And I remember us talking about that one time. In fact, I had mentioned something about my daughter's father. I was dating him at the time, and I was saying, oh, he loves women. And this roommate of mine, he said, well, you know, a lot of men say that, but they really don't. And they don't really understand women, and they can't really communicate with them. They just like fucking them. So we had a conversation about that. And I said, but you're not that way. You really do love women, and you communicate with them really well. In fact, when you and I communicate, it's like you're one of my girlfriends. And he says, yeah, well, that took a long time to learn. And I can do that, but you know that as soon as a man walks in the door, I go back to man speak. I do not communicate with men that way. And that's something that's happened decades ago. So this is a phenomenon that's been in existence for quite some time. I appreciate the detail with which this guy kind of unpacked it. And my heart just aches that he finds himself kind of in between. It's like, okay, that's the price to pay. I guess I rebel against the thought that the price to pay is so negative that it would scare guys away from trying to get these skills. I mean, perhaps that price isn't something that you pay as much if you are in a relationship and you are trying to step a little bit into these characteristics of personality that you were not trained to have as a male in our society. Perhaps it's easier to walk down that path if you have a relationship and you've both talked about it and you agree that this is something you want to work towards, because then it's not a matter of walking around in the world having to present a certain way so that you attract the type of people that you want, or attract anyone that you want. Appearances and the way that people present matter a lot. And once you have secured a relationship and you're in one, married or not, or long-term, whatever, and then exploring it does seem like a safer choice. But I have to really give this guy kudos, because these are the people that start affecting change. And I think it's the most difficult for these people that step out there first. I really do. But the only thing I can suggest for any of you out there that are considering walking this path is surround yourself with people who understand what the hell it is you're doing. Make sure you have a core group of people around you that gets this whole concept, that is supportive of you, that encourages you, as many people as you can find. In my world, the kink community is a group that I have found to be so accepting of just about anything and everything, as long as it's safe, sane, and consensual. Whether it's a transgender person, whether it is someone who likes acting like the gender they were not biologically born as, butch, femme, whatever the words are you would like to use. There is so much acceptance in the community. And I know that not all BDSM communities are like that across the country, across the world. But I have found that there's so much more acceptance just simply because there are so many more things that we come up against and experience in terms of we're exposed to with other people around us, but also because of the communication and negotiation part of it. We do so much communication and negotiation with each other in the BDSM world that I think we just communicate a little bit better. Nonetheless, I wanted to share this with you. I know that the listener who was having the issue with looking for some support in his time of need hopefully has found some of that already. But again, we're adding to the knowledge base here. And this is a subject near and dear to my heart, is guys opening up and being vulnerable and being emotional and being allowed to express themselves just as freely as women are. That's my dream. That's my dream, people. And I don't pretend to know what it would be like, and this walking around in society that way. And this young man has given me a glimpse, and it is not all rainbows and sunshine, you know. So there you have it. Anyway, okay, let's move on to the next letter. Hello, Ruby. I've been thinking about grades of silicone and how I might like to try the Diva Cup. Some of the companies sell menstrual cups in different looking materials, colors, densities, and textures. They advertise that women can wear these for up to 12 hours. I started to worry what they were made of, so what do you think? I know how they reduce waste, but how regulated are they for safety? It's not really related to pegging, but I thought you might know something with your knowledge of safe sex toys. Also, regarding the other... Also, regarding dental dams, they can be made of non-latex materials, same as the availability of non-latex examination gloves. Nitrile, I think, is the name of the substance. Best, Katie in Arizona. So, Katie in Arizona, I did a quick Google search, and I actually found myself on Walmart's website, which I usually don't go to. However, they had like 5 or 6 different Diva Cups. Okay, what are Diva Cups? For the people listening who have no idea what this is a menstrual tool. So instead of using a tampon and sticking this up inside your vagina and letting it absorb the blood that is leaving your body when you menstruate, it is sort of a little cup that goes inside your vagina, and the large end of it kind of has a springy ring. So when you put it up in there, it stays in there and it basically catches all the blood. So it is quite effective. And I know there's a fair amount of women who really love these things. And yes, it absolutely reduces waste because tampons, you know, they use cotton, they use a bunch of different things, and you go through a whole bunch of them when you have a period every month. So the Diva Cups, every single one that I came across was silicone, and it talked about medical grade silicone. So I think that pretty much across the board, unless you get into the really, really cheap ones, that they're going to make these of medical grade silicone. I would also be reassured because they are device that you put in your body, and they're governed by way different rules than sex toys. As I've mentioned before, the reason that we have to be careful of bad grades of silicone and non-silicone saying that they are silicone, because what we love to play with are all classified as novelties, these sex toys that we love so much. And that means that they have no use, technically, haha. Big joke there, because we all know that we use them quite a bit, put them in sensitive areas of our body, mucous membranes, things like this. So the rules don't apply with sex toys, which is fucked up, but you all know that because you listen to my podcast, and you are savvy consumers of sex toys. However, Diva Cups, I'm quite sure, are governed by very different rules and more stringent ones, and they have to say what they're made out of, and those labels have to be correct. I could pretty much guarantee that. That's what the consumer protection stuff is for in this country, is that sort of thing. When I was researching it, I did get a little bit sidetracked because I found an article that talked about Diva Cups being potentially involved in toxic shock syndrome. As I read further, and what toxic shock syndrome is if you leave this in too long, if you leave a tampon in too long, if you leave a Diva Cup in too long, there is a whole reaction that happens in some people more than others because of a whole variety of reasons. But basically, you can get sick really, really fast, and you can die if you don't take that sucker out of there. So if they say you can leave it in up to 12 hours, I don't think I'd do that. I think I would err on the side of caution. I think I would probably leave it in about 3 or 4 hours, take it out, clean it, put it back in, that kind of thing, just to be on the safe side. So I just had to tell you that because I did get a little sidetracked. When I read all the information, it doesn't really appear that Diva Cups have a higher incidence of toxic shock than just plain tampons. It's just using them correctly, using them smartly, and changing them fairly often. It seemed to be an article that was written from a perspective of sensationalism, because, I mean, you know, you scare people, sure, they'll probably read it. There you go. But thank you for the information about dental dams. I don't think that I knew that dental dams can be made of nitrile. Thank you, Katie, for writing in. Here's another letter. Hi, Ruby. I came across your contact information on Pegging Paradise. I recently submitted to my girlfriend's fantasy and allowed her to peg me. She absolutely loves it. We use a double, and like everything you read, it's hard to keep in without falling out. Our unit also has a port for a mini vibrator. We are currently using latex tape to help keep it in. Could you possibly suggest a harness option that works with the double? Your guidance is appreciated. And this is from Sean. Sean, I can absolutely give you some suggestions. You don't really give me quite enough information, so let me just give you a rundown of a few options here. All of the harnesses I am going to talk about are compatible with the double that you have. If you and your girlfriend like the feel and the smell and the whole concept of leather, if you think it's sexy and you want to have a harness that's a leather harness, Aslan leather harnesses are awesome, either the Jaguar or the Minx. You don't tell me what size bodies you guys have, but if she is a BBW by any chance, then the very best harness out there for her would be the Aslan leather Minx. I'll put a link to that in the Linkorama. The Jaguar is also a lovely harness from leather, made by Aslan. It's leather. It just doesn't have that gorgeous corset back. If you, on the other hand, are drawn to fabric harnesses, Spare Parts has quite a selection of fabric harnesses, from sort of bare bones straps to panty style to really, really feminine panty style with detachable garters, all kinds of different stuff. And all of those have an ease in washing and taking care of. The whole fabric care thing is easy. You just put it in a garment bag, you throw it in the cold water wash, and then hang dry it. Whereas the leather takes a little bit more care, because occasionally you do have to, you wipe it off after you use it each time. So different kind of a thing. Here's another advantage, disadvantage, is the leather harnesses can be cinched down so that there's really no give, and that toy feels like it's kind of a part of you, and you can cinch it down really tight. Whereas the fabric harnesses are always going to have a little bit of a give, because you're dealing with elastic, maybe about a quarter of an inch, right? Because fabric stretches a little bit. Some givers really hate that. Some don't even notice it. So I'm going to put a link to the harnesses on Entice Me. You can go take a look at them there. And the leather ones as well as the fabric ones, and every single one of those is compatible with the double. The other thing about the fabric harnesses is they have two pockets for bullet vibes above and below that sewn-in O-ring. They go horizontal above and below. So I'm not sure what kind of bullet vibe you have with your double, but if it's a double that is the universal size, I would highly, highly recommend, if you don't already have it, to get the WeVibe Tango Mini Vibe, because it's the strongest, it's rechargeable, it's waterproof, it's got like 8 different speeds and patterns. It's amazing. It's the best bullet vibe in the world. So I'll put a link to that too in the Linkorama. And I think that should give you a good start to take a look around. This is the first time I've ever heard anybody say they use latex tape to keep it in. That's rather creative. I never heard of anybody doing that before, but hey, it sounds like it would work. So yes, those are the harness options, and then there's the mini vibe suggestion as well, and you will find all of those in the Linkorama. Thanks for the question, Sean, and let us know what you get, how you like it, and how it works. Because indeed, hard to keep it in without falling out, and that's a drag when you're wanting to do some awesome pegging, you know, when it's falling out. That's really a pain in the butt. All right, let's go to the next letter here. The subject line on this is Pop Dildos Enhanced. I hear you recommend the Pop Dildo for ejaculating effects. Getting pegged with this feels great. Highly recommended. However, I don't like the bulb, because when you squeeze and let go, it looks to suck something in. I have purchased a 50 milliliter syringe on Amazon. I now use this to apply lube before pegging straight from the tap, parentheses, straight from the dildo. Then, if I want more lube, I just ask or squeeze the syringe. Hope this helps others, because this gets me going just thinking / reliving this experience. And he signs it, Consummate Tinkerer. This is a fabulous idea. As a matter of fact, I think I am going to write Stephanie and let her know about this as it being an option, because what a cool thing for a lube application type thing. It's like it applies lube from the inside. That's a great suggestion. So what I'm wondering is, what do you do with the syringe while you're getting fucked? If you're a tinkerer, have you made like a little holster for it, or a little pocket that you put it in while it's all attached? I mean, what do you do with it? Does she stick it in her bra? I mean, what happens? Because you don't want to be just sitting there and holding it. Or is it something that can actually, you know, the tube is long enough to where it can actually like lay on the bed next to you while you're getting fucked? I want to know. Inquiring minds would like to know. But that's a lovely idea for lube application. And beyond just the lube application, if you just want to have a larger volume and have it not suck anything back in, it's an excellent idea to use a syringe. I'm liking this idea. Yes, I do believe the Pop Dildo has been enhanced by your suggestion. For those who have a hankering to have lube application from the inside, as well as a large volume of what have you for the ejaculate. The other thing, too, is if you had that syringe on there and you had the larger volume of something, it wouldn't have to be lube. It could be, you know, the fantasy thing that I came up with when I started exploring these pop dildos, the little fantasy thing I had was you have dinner with your partner, you're wearing the strap on, he's naked, because, you know, me and my femdom stuff. And then he gets on his knees and starts giving you a blowjob with your dildo, and you've got something in there that you're kind of pressing and making him swallow, right? Whatever it is. For whatever reason, I default a little bit to alcohol. I'm not sure why. I mean, you'd only want to do the blowjob thing if you had like a, I don't know, a margarita in there or something, because then you wouldn't want to put it in your ass if you had alcohol in there. Probably not a good idea unless you clean it out first. But anyway, there is one more option of playing around with this whole syringe idea. Excellent idea, sir. Thank you so much for sending that in. And I love that last line. It gets you going just thinking and reliving the experience. Very nice. All right. Oh, Consummate Tinker. I scrolled down on my notes and the Consummate Tinker's name is Randy. So there you go. All right. Here is my next letter. Hi, Ruby. My name is Luke. I'm 28 from the UK. I stumbled upon your podcast number 112 the other day, and I'm so glad I did. I decided to listen to it alone first, while I conjured up the courage to share it with my partner. It's put my mind at ease so much, and I think it'll really help the both of us understand my fantasy more, so thank you for your brilliant work. I myself have quite the ass obsession, I guess. I love the idea of playing with a plethora of toys and would love my partner to fuck me with a strap-on. But she is fairly shy and conservative in the bedroom, so I've only shared a small part of my kinks with her. We've played with a few toys and plugs, and she'll occasionally enjoy a plug too. She's only ever been accepting with me and my wanting things in the butt, but I still want to take things slow with her. I don't want to rush her. But now I've found your podcast, I think opening her up to more of myself and my kinks is going to be so much easier for both of us. I'm going to share number 112 with her this evening. Whew, pretty nervous. I'd like to explore and share more of your amazing work with my partner, but there is so much. I was wondering if you had done any podcasts on just straight-up toy play or butt stuff for beginners. How to use toys / hands on your man's butt without the harness. Things of that nature. If you could suggest some more listening, I'd really appreciate it. Thanks again so much, and wish me luck. Well, I've had this ready to record for a number of days, and you wrote it to me a while ago, so I'm thinking that you two have already listened to this, and I can't wait to hear how it went. I do not have any podcasts regarding beginning ass play for couples where she's giving and he's receiving. I have absolutely written an article about that. The two that I wrote, the first one is solo play, and I don't think that you need that. It sounds like you're way beyond that, and because that's specifically designed for guys who really have never played with their own ass. And since you have an obsession with it, I'm assuming here that you have absolutely gone beyond that level. However, especially if she's kind of shy and conservative, I think it would help a lot if she had some more information. So I get why you're looking for that. Like I say, it's not a podcast, but it's an article. And I believe the title of it is something like Newbie Ass Play for Couples or something like that. But I will absolutely put the link to that in the Linkorama. In fact, I'll throw it up there when I respond to this and let you know that I've read it on the podcast. And I think that that should help. And that's full of all kinds of ideas and information and sort of a step-by-step, how do you do this? What position should he be in? When are you going to ask questions about what? When do you put the lube on? You know, all different kinds of stuff like that. It really is a step-by-step, so I think it would be very, very helpful. And good luck to you, sir. I am really thrilled that you have gotten to the point where you are ready to open up and let her know you a little more deeply, because that's a really quite a gift. So let us know how it went, and I'll put that link in the Linkorama for you. Thanks for writing in. And here is another letter. I stumbled across your podcast a few days ago and thought I would say hi and ask for some advice. First, my name is Nick. I'm 33, and I've been playing with my ass on and off since I was 16. Started out on the old MSN chat rooms looking for a mistress to cyber with, as cyber sex was about all I could get at 16, and was soon talked into playing with my ass. Once I tried it, I was hooked, looking for anything I could use as a toy. Even stuck a plunger to the wall in the shower and backed up to it. Once I was 18, the first thing I did was to go get myself a vibrator. Made sure it was waterproof, as most of my playtime was in the shower. At the age of 20, my girlfriend, who was my first, offered me a deal. She said I could fuck her ass if she could fuck mine. The only stipulation was the toy had to be as big as me. This sounded like a fair deal, so I said okay, and off to the local toy store we went. I soon discovered that as much as I liked playing with my own ass, it was 10 times better when someone was doing it for me. Years later, with a new girlfriend, now wife, I was able to revisit pegging and immediately got hooked again. This was early in our relationship, and she was eager to please me. We have been together for 8 years now, married for 4, and she just isn't into pegging anymore. She will do it occasionally if I ask, but I can tell she isn't into it and just going through the motions, which makes it less enjoyable. So the majority of my anal play is now done solo. I have a few toys that I normally just suction to the wall in the shower and use that way. I did buy a shock rocker or monkey rocker. It's like one of those glider footstools, only with an arm that a toy attaches to, so you can fuck yourself just by rocking. It's a fun toy, but I can't ever seem to have an anal-only orgasm when using it. Not sure if I just can't get the right rhythm or what. I really want to get fucked, something where I just relax and take a good pounding. Aside from finding a mistress, not my first choice, what other methods or toys would you recommend? Thanks. Love the podcast. Nick. Nick. Wow. Okay. Let's see here. So the first thing I'm going to talk a little about, even though you seem to have sort of gone past that issue and just explained it, used it as informational stuff, and then gone to sort of what toys do you think or how should I fuck myself, is your relationship with your wife. Because if you're only 33, and I say only from the perspective of being 61, so I can say only to you, if you're only 33, I'm wondering if you have really explored it kind of in the right ways as far as getting her to peg you. You explained that, you know, she's really not into it, and so you hardly ever do it anymore. You don't really say how your sex life is in general. The only thing I can assume is that it's pretty good. But when you say that she's really not into it and she's just going through the motions, which makes it less enjoyable. So what I'm wondering is if you have explored giving her exactly what she wants and then some sexually, so that she's over the moon with pleasure and trying to give her as many orgasms as you can and do exactly the way she loves it and focus all your attention on her. And you get what I'm talking about. Just make it all about her and please her so thoroughly. Send her to the moon that she really wants to do something for you. Now, it's not just in the bedroom. You've heard me talk about this before. If you have listened to some of my podcasts, you need to make sure your side of the street is cleaned up. What do I mean by that? I mean that just in living together with this lovely partner of yours, you need to focus on making sure that you try and help her as much as possible. You clean up after yourself. You try and cook some of the time. And I don't know if you have kids or any about all the rest of that, but you try and be the best partner you can be. If you have let yourself go a little bit from when you guys first met and first got married, get back on that exercise thing and shape up for your partner and look good for her. If you have gotten lazy and kind of don't do any of the dishes and she's defaulted to doing all of them, take that over and do those things for her. If there's something you know that you can help her do by picking something up so she doesn't have to go get it and has one less errand to do. Okay, so I don't know if any of these apply, but you get my point. Clean up your side of the street. Be the very, very best partner you can possibly be. And then have her listen to podcast number 112. Why have her listen to podcast number 112? Because one of the things that that podcast tends to do is to enlighten partners as to how much their partner craves this and wants it, and it's important to them. The reason that I recorded podcast number 112 specifically was for the situation of, say, you and your wife were, you wanted to explore pegging and she didn't know anything about it, so you introduce the subject to her and then you have her listen to podcast number 112. It goes through all the misconceptions, it calms all the fears, it gives accurate information, but it never tries to convince. So this is not why I want her to listen to it. I want her to listen to it because it talks about why men really like pegging. And she may not realize what this means to you and how much you enjoy it. And it's worth a try. I really think it's worth a try. So I'm going to put the link to 112. That's almost always in my Linkorama, I swear to God. But you need to listen to it first, because you are the only one who can judge whether this is an appropriate thing for your wife to listen to or not. And if you want to do it together, that's fine too, but you listen to it by yourself first. And if you decide it's a good thing, you can have like little sexy time, glass of wine on the couch, you know, sit and listen to it together. Or you can give her the link and ask her to listen to it when she has time. And that would be the first thing that I would recommend, because it's possible that she may never be totally enthusiastic about it, about pegging itself, but she may be enthusiastic about pleasing you, about giving you pleasure, because you've given so much pleasure to her. You've been such an amazing husband. You're so considerate. You're so kind. See where I'm going with all this? That she just wants to do something that you really want. So there's that. Now, leaving that subject entirely aside, because I am always hopeful that partners can find a way through to doing this, and I'm well aware that there's partners out there that hit the wall and say, you know what, I'm just not into it. I am just totally not into it. So, okay, nonetheless, let's move on from that subject to toys. It's pretty cool to hear that you have the shock rocker. The original name for that glider type of fucking machine was the monkey rocker, and I believe that the guy who makes the shock rocker, and he actually sent me one, I do have one, got the plans from that guy and makes it for a whole lot less money. So yes, it's an awesome machine. One of the things that I know about the shock rocker is that it is adjustable. So I would suggest that you experiment with looking at how you can adjust that thing, because I do know that the adjustments can affect the depth of penetration, and if that's something that totally gets you off and gets you closer to having an anal-only orgasm, that's awesome. But I believe you can also adjust the angle. There are several adjustment points on it. Take a real good look at it and check it out. So in combination with those adjustments, consider getting a different dildo to put on it. I don't know what you're using. I dearly hope that you're not using some Doc Johnson Vaculock shit, because I really believe they are shit. There is a plate that comes with it that I'm not sure if you have or not. He developed a workaround so that you could use any flare-based dildo. So hopefully you have that attachment in the gasket that holds any flare-based dildo onto that plate. It's a very smooth plate that it sits on. Because then what you can do is you can switch out those dildos and try and find one that scratches your itch. And what you're playing here with is the depth, the diameter, the curve, the angle. See how many possibilities there are? So I would explore that shock rocker a little bit more with different dildos and different adjustments and angles and that kind of stuff, because I think it has a tremendous amount of potential. And yeah, you could get things with suction cups to fuck yourself against the wall, but there's really only so much you can do in the shower, you know? It's nice to have something you can kind of sit on and relax, like the shock rocker. Now, I am going to refer you to another podcast that I did a while back, where a listener wrote in and said that he bought a fairly cheap Chinese fucking machine, and actually had a great time with it, and it left him swooning. I can't remember the exact words that he used, but he was quite happy with it for as much as he spent on it, because it wasn't really that much, considering it was a fucking machine. So I'm going to look that up in my podcasts and put the link for that in my Linkorama so that you can listen to that too. So I'm going to put the link to that machine itself on the Linkorama as well as the podcast. But that's another option too, is to have something electric. Because sure, you can do the shock rocker, and that's you know, under your own power. And admittedly, the gear ratio is pretty freaking phenomenal, so you don't really have to do that much except scoot back and forth. However, it would be pretty damn cool to have something electric that's just kind of pounding into you. That would be a different sensation that you can really relax into. And he got pretty descriptive about how he used it and what it was like. So that would be cool for you to listen to in case it's something that you want to consider. But those are the two options. You know, when you talk about wanting a pounding, there's not that many options, really. I think there's people out there that talk about the Sibian, but the Sibian is mostly vibrational, and you have to kind of jump up and down on it, and it's extremely expensive, and it's also extremely loud. This is why I don't recommend it at all, like, at all, just so not interested. I also was kind of put off by hearing a review from a good friend of mine who tried to go to the guy who made the Sibian and say, you know, there are definitely some adjustments that you can make to this that would make it better. This guy was so not interested, just walls are up, not even going to consider it. He's got his thing, people buy it once in a while, he's got a thing happening, he's not at all interested in making it better. So yeah, that kind of put me off too. Nonetheless, moving away from all that, those are the only things that I know that really will give you, as you like to say, a pounding. So I hope that helps. And please do let us know how it goes if you decide to move further with talking to the wife about it. I love to hear when people find their way through to doing some satisfying pegging. It's a pretty cool thing. So I hope that happens for you, but if it doesn't, I do hope that between those two suggestions that you get the pounding that you desire. And you know, you use the word, you know, obsession. When I teach my class, the very first thing I do is say, okay, let me tell you who I am and how I got here. From the first, when I became sexual, I have been, who knows why, rather anally obsessed. I say that sentence every time. And it's true, so I can relate, sir. I can totally relate. And I'm glad for no other reason than you are so well acquainted with the pleasure in your ass. Congratulations. You have explored it thoroughly, I can tell. Okay, thanks for writing in, Nick, and good luck to you. Okay, let me tell you when the next webinar is. I already mentioned that the day that this comes out, which is tomorrow morning, it's like a couple hours before midnight here on the 31st, on Halloween, and I have had no celebrations, no trick-or-treaters, because I live on a 12-acre horse ranch. Nobody's going to come up that driveway. It's kind of steep. Anyway, the podcast is coming out on the 1st, and the 1st is a day when I'm going to have a webinar. As I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, it's at 6 p.m. California time. So if you want to zip into that, then just shoot me an email and I'll give you a pass for it. If you're a giver, if you're a receiver, I ask for a $15 donation. But if that would stop you from attending, please don't even give it a second thought. Shoot me an email and I will give you a ticket to get in as well. The next webinar I'm doing is Saturday, November 17th at 10 in the morning. So it's another weekend one. And then after that one on the 17th, the holiday season is going to begin. And so I'm going to be taking a break from webinars until the new year. So if you were hoping to attend a webinar before 2019, before the first of the year, these two are your chances. Wednesday, November 1st, 6 p.m., Saturday, November 17th at 10 a.m. During this holiday break, I'm going to be actively working on having an advanced webinar, because as I mentioned in the last podcast, it's getting a little unwieldy. I've got 2 hours worth of material. I'm going to cut part of that off, and then I'm also going to add in a bunch of way cool advanced stuff like bigger diameter, longer insertions, vagus nerve stimulation, more physiology, stuff like that. So that's happening. And then last but not least, what I'm going to be working on over the holidays is a new webinar. I'm getting a lot of inspiration daily, daily, in the form of emails from men asking where they can find a woman to peg them. So I'm going to teach a freaking webinar on it. I am absolutely going to teach a webinar about it. And it's going to cover everybody's scenarios. Like, for example, you are a vanilla receiver. You just want to do sensual pegging and you want to find a partner to do this with. Or you're into BDSM and you want to have a little kink thrown in too. Or you are vanilla and you are not looking for a relationship. Or you are vanilla and you are. You're into BDSM and you are or you aren't. You're looking for just the experience. You want to find out if it's something you like. Or you're looking for a relationship in which you can have pegging as well. All of these different scenarios I'm going to cover and give you lots of options of how to approach this from a number of different perspectives. I think it's easily going to last an hour. But because people come from so many different perspectives on this, I'm going to cover them all and hopefully give you guys some ideas on how to do this. The other thing I'm going to be talking about in this webinar is the perspective of the women that you approach. So hopefully, if you're not having any success, you can modify that approach a bit. So hopefully you have more success, because I can absolutely tell you what doesn't work. And you know, if you've been listening to my podcast, you kind of have a sense of all this. But like I say, I'm getting inspired to do this. I'm getting sort of pushed to do it because of my mounting frustration with these emails that I get every day. Let me get the one that I just got before I started recording this podcast, and I'll give you an example. So the vast majority of time, these are not long emails. And I'm not really sure whether it's because talking about your kinks and asking for what you need in this area can be filled with embarrassment and shame. That's one reason. Or maybe it takes a little bit to relax and enjoy, you know, checking out this kind of stuff and thinking about it. So maybe you've had a couple of drinks or you've smoked a little bit or something like that. And then you find Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise and you click on that right Ruby because, I mean, you know, help me, Ruby. So this is what it says. And you know, this man typed all of this into the subject line. There is nothing in the body of the email itself. This is one of the reasons I think maybe a little drinking was happening. But here's what it says. I've always fantasized about being pegged by a femdom and always what it would be like, dot, dot, dot. How do I find one? And this is from Brad. Haha, you've been exposed, Brad. It's just your first name. Nobody's going to know who you are. However, yes, I get emails like this all the time. So I really need a webinar that I can say, absolutely, I can help you with that. Come to the webinar. There's no guarantee of a partner for success, but I have a lot of ideas. I have a lot of information around this. And I find that every time I get an email like this, I feel like I want to relay all of this wealth of information that I have gathered about finding someone to peg, the guy who wrote. Because it's not like I'm without empathy around this. Goodness sakes, I've been talking about this for so long that alongside the frustration that you hear when I get approached like a fetish delivery service is empathy for the desire to experience this, because stepping over that line into the desire is not an easy thing for most receivers to do. And so once they get to that point, to then encounter such difficulty finding someone to experience it with, I definitely have empathy. I hear you guys, okay? So anyway, that's what I'm going to be working on over the holidays. All kinds of sexy, fun stuff. That's my life these days. Oh my gosh. All right, I think I am done for this one. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. You can also go to pegging101.com, where I have informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, which you can find a sampling of under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you want to. The follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page. If you order some sexy new toys from Entice Me, please remember to use that coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your entire purchase. And send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too different, too diabolical, or too derisive. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so please don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox, or you can call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging.